Kim, ganda umaga po sa lahat and happy to be back after 7 Sundays away. Itutuloy natin ang ating long series on Christian holiness. I intend this to be as comprehensive as possible, although of course we cannot cover every single thing of a broad subject like holiness, but I hope that it will prove to be comprehensive, and I hope to you profitable. This is only lesson number 7. And just by way of reminder or review, ang isang gusto kong lagi natin isipin, ano man ang pag-uusapan natin tungkol sa kabanalan, pagpapakabanal, it is always oriented to Christ's death and resurrection. Huwag na huwag nating isipin, magpapakabanal ako para mas matanggap ako, o magpapakabanal ako para mas maayos ang aking katayuan. That is not the point. We seek to be holy because of what Christ has already done for us. Kaya by way of review, ang death and resurrection ng ating Panginoon, ang dalawang bahagi niya, no, dalawang components, ay in terms first and primarily of atonement, meaning it satisfied the wrath of God. But on the other end, or other component, is it was also victory. So as atonement, it resolves our guilt and corruption of sin. Yung ating pagiging may sala na dapat hatulan ng Diyos, at ang ating pagiging masama na nagpaparumi sa ating pagkatao, yan ang niresolba ng ginawa ni Jesus na satisfaction of God's wrath. But in terms of victory, He delivers us from bondage to sin and the devil. So, when we talk about the death of Christ, isipin natin ang naging effect nito sa atin because of what Christ has done taking upon Himself the judgment of God is both atonement and victory, and the result is that the believer is redeemed from sin and liberated from bondage. That is the very reason why we can be and we should be seeking holiness because of what Christ has done. Again, that is always the orientation. Any disorientation in our mindset concerning holiness will always create problems sa ating paghanap na maging banal. So, when it comes to the process of sanctification, tinignan natin ito by general outlook na combination of mortification and cultivation. So, ang sinabi ng Ephesians 4, pinagsama niya, pagdating sa kasalanan, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer but must work, doing something useful. Then, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building. Kung mapapansin ninyo rito, mortification, meaning dealing with sin, killing sin, is conducted always in correspondence with cultivating the opposite grace. Pag-aaralan natin ito separately. Essentially, yun ang kailangan para maunawaan natin. Pero sa karanasan, hindi sila magkahiwalay. Huwag mong isipin na imo-mortify ko ang sin na ito, and then after I have mortified it, I'll develop or cultivate the grace. Hindi ganun nangyayari. They are always correspondent. As you are mortifying sin, you are cultivating the opposite grace. Now, the result will always be struggle and conflict. Hindi ito easygoing, steady progress. We all wish it were, but it is not. There will always be conflict and struggle. At ito ang isang dahilan na marami ang bumibigay, tumitiklop dahil sa kaakibat na pakikibaka at pakikipagsalungat. So, of course, because that is what we will discuss, first and foremost, when we talk about mortification of sin, we must renounce any idea of perfectionism, meaning nobody will become perfect, nobody will become sinless. Unfortunately, there have been in the past and in the present Christians who claimed that they have come to perfection. Malimit kong gamitin illustration, ang kagaya ni Asa Mahan na nag-claim in the 19th century na siya ay naging perfect na at hinangaan siya ng marami. And then sinundan siya ng kanyang kaibigan na si Charles Finney na nag-claim din na sumunod kay Asa Mahan na siya rin ay nakarating sa perfection. Later on, these two had a falling out and in fact would excommunicate each other. Lesson, perfect people cannot stand each other. Yun ang tandaan natin. Pag may isang ganyang nagkiklaim ng perfection, what does the Bible say about that? This is very clear and straightforward in 1 John 1:8 and 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Pansinin yung dalawang bagay. We claim to have no sin, wala nang kasalanan. O kaya we have not sinned, hindi nakagawa ng kasalanan. Both in nature and in conduct, we have sinned. At sino mga magsabing hindi na ako nagkakasala o wala na akong kasalanan, wala siyang naloloko. We know he's a sinner. He's only deceiving himself. Yan ang sabi ni John. So let us forever renounce any idea of perfectionism. There is no perfectionism. The Bible says that perfection or sinless perfection is a heavenly state. Itong sinabi tungkol sa mga nandoon na sa langit, the spirits of the righteous made perfect. This is the condition. Yan ang tinatawag nating intermediate state. If you are a Christian, you die, you go to heaven. That is our consolation when we go through times of mourning as we are going through now. That those who die in faith are spirits made perfect. Sila'y sinakdal na. That's the intermediate state. And then also in the final state, meaning when Christ comes again, then all the more there will be no more sin. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, meaning the heavenly Jerusalem. Nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Kaya pag naghahanap tayo ng perfection, it is not here. Kung talagang gustong-gusto mo na, alam mong gagawin mo. Pero sa final state ay nandoon ang most perfection of the creation of God. In the heavenly state, the spirits of believers are made perfect. But what does that mean about perfection? Baka ang maging effect naman sa atin, wala talagang perfect. So, tanggapin mo na lang yung kasalanan na hindi mo nilalabanan kasi you reason out, walang perfect. That is wrong attitude as well. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, do not sin. That is always our standard. Do not sin. You find any sin in your thought, in your conduct, deal with it. Do not sin. But then, John immediately follows, but if anyone sins, because that happens, we have an advocate with the Father. And sa Matthew 5:48, sinabi doon, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, ito ang masasabi ko tungkol sa usapin ng perfection. Perfection is not attainable on earth, but pursuable. Hindi mo mararating, pero hanapin mo. Hangarin mo. So, pursue it. That's your standard. That is our standard. Be perfect. Do not sin. Yet, it will never be attained on this side of glory. So it is not perfectionism, and that means the opposite, struggle. We struggle with sin. Then that means fluctuations. There are times you fall. There are times you find the strength of sin sa iyong sarili. And perhaps the best portrayal of this, depiction of this struggle we find in Romans chapter 7. Na tungkol mismo kay Paul na sinabi niya na I am sold under sin. Sin dwells in me. And the way he summarized his struggle is, he said, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Na maraming nagbabasa ng Romans 7:14 following, and they make wrong interpretations kung sino ang tinutukoy dito. So let me make it let me be clear that this is not an unbeliever. So merong mga nagbabasa niyan at sasabihin nila, unbeliever to, kasi ganito ang struggle niya sa kasalanan. No, this is not an unbeliever. Also, this is not the so-called carnal or defeated Christian. May mga ganitong gumagamit na ganito ang carnal Christian na mumuhay sa Romans 7. Ang kailangan natin daw ay mamuhay sa Romans 8 victory. No, we live both Romans 7 and Romans 8. Hindi ito pamimili. And carnal Christian, as I hope taught this church many times, is a misinterpretation. The carnal man, sabi ng Romans 8:7, is enmity against God. It is not, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Yet here, Paul says in Romans 7, with my mind I serve the law of God. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. This is not carnality of the so-called carnal Christian. Also, there are no two natures in Christians. Napaka-popular ng teaching na ito, especially because, very unfortunately, the NIV has translated flesh or sarx as sinful nature. Kaya nabuo yung kaisipan na a Christian has the holy nature and the sinful nature. No, we don't have two natures. Only Christ has two natures, human and divine, in one person. Tayo, one person, one nature. Ang nangyari sa atin when we were saved ay we became holy partially, but we remain sinful partially. So when you sin, it is not your nature doing it. It is you, the person who is still a sinner. And when you do holy things, again, it's not a nature doing it. It is you, because you both are holy and sinful if you are a Christian. Sabi ni Martin Luther, simul, justus, et peccator, both righteous and sinner. That is what every Christian is. So, hindi ito two natures ng Kristiyano. Instead, what we should see here, as Paul summarized it in Romans 7:24-25, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is the normal Christian life. Romans 7 is the Christian in his struggle with sin. Romans 8 is the same Christian in his victory over sin. Both struggle and victory are the share of every Christian. At yan ay mangyayari at mangyayari. So, in discussing mortification of sin, ang titingnan muna natin is general outlook. There are principles that apply to all mortification of sins, whatever sin is involved. Now, after we have discussed the general principles, probably in two or three lessons, we will look at specific sins. Now, hindi natin matatapos ang lahat ng kasalanan, kaya kailangan we have to be selective pagdating sa special sins that we need mortifying. But magsisimula ako sa pinakaunang principle. If we will mortify sin, be specific. What's sin? Hindi ka mag-mortify ng sin in general because we will never be eradicated with remaining sin until we go to glory. So, when you are in the process of mortifying sin, by the way, mortify means to kill, put to death. At yung hindi na nagkakaroon ng influence sa iyo, ang temptation niya hindi na nagiging temptation para sa iyo. So, you don't stop until such sins are mortified, but you must begin with specific sins. And we find in the New Testament that there are lists of sins. Hindi lang sinabing sin, nililista. At iba-iba ang mga listahan na yan. You have, for example, Jesus' own list in Mark 7, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. So, tingnan nyo, thoughts pa lang. In fact, this is one principle we will learn later. Mortification always begins with a thought. Pag hindi mo na pagtagumpayan ng thought, talo ka. So, evil thoughts, then it begins to speak of conduct, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. These are specific sins. Eh, kung ginawa ni Jesus ang ganyang specification of sins, we should do no less. What are you mortifying? And here is Paul's list in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Ba't ba naisama yun? Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. So the word things like this means Paul was not done. Marami pa siyang gustong sabihin, eh, kukulangin na siya ng, baka naubusan na ng ink. Pero ang point ay, what we see in this list is you must name your sin, but no list is exhaustive. Lahat ng mga nailistang kasalanan na yan, may masasabi ka pa. The most important, the primary principle in mortifying sin is specify. Meron ka dapat matatawag nating sin project. Pag may project ng construction, hindi naman sasabihin lang nila, magtayo tayo ng building. Eh, siyempre, specific location, specific dimensions, and blueprint, etc. It is specified. You cannot mortify sin in general. You mortify specific sins. And I'm challenging you, as a Christian, do you have now a mortification project of some particular sins in your life? So you must specify it, and in particular, concentrate. Siyempre, marami tayong nararanasang kasalanan. You must concentrate on those sins that have the power of bondage, power of enslaving you. And yan ang sinabi ng Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So may tinukoy siya sa bawat Kristiyano, the sin which easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance. So there is a sin that easily ensnares. Iba-iba ito sa atin. Ang tawag na, the older word is besetting sin. Or the Puritans called it your darling sin. Yung something that is hard to let go. Doon ka magkoconcentrate. Some sins we do accidentally or we do ignorantly. Hindi natin alam na kasalanan. Then someone told us. But some sins, some specific sins, we do habitually and with a certain degree of bondage. So yan ang dapat mong kilalanin. And we can probably exemplify it sa case ng sinabi ni Paul kay Timothy, as a youth, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, etc. So in the case of those who struggle in their youth, Paul singles out youthful lusts. And then here is another in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, etc. And again, pinapakita niya dito yung strong influence of love of money. And who can deny that? When we are tempted with money, marami tayong kinocompromise. Pero kung pansinin ninyo sa dalawang ito, what makes a sin enslaving? Sin enslaves because of either pleasure, such as lust, or profit. When you gain from it, magiging enslaving. When it gives you some profit, materially or otherwise, or it is pleasing, that's when sin is enslaving. Ibig sabihin, merong addict lasting effect. Alam mong kasalanan, yan ang sinabi ni Paul, that which I do not want to do, I do. So alam mong kasalanan, and yet you keep doing, this is the sin that you need to concentrate upon. Not the accidental sins or not the ignorant sins, but the sin that is enslaving. And the most important beginning of dealing with specific sins is always to confess. Daily confession of and contrition over sin. If we confess our sins, nasa gitna ito nung binasa natin kanina na nagdi-deny ng sin. Sa, in contrast with those who deny sin, the way not to deny sin is not simply to admit it, but to confess it. And of course, we confess to God. We don't believe in confession to priests. We confess to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, every dealing with sin, specific sin, begins with confession. Now here, warning, do not suspend confession until you feel better. This is the deceit of the devil. Alam niyo yung nangyayari, nahulog tayo, nadapa tayo sa kasalanan, hiyang-hiya tayo sa Panginoon, at hindi ka makaharap, wala kang mukhang iaharap sa pakiramdam mo sa Panginoon, parang bumabalik pa sa'yo ang bintang ng Diablo. Anong ginagawa mong dumadalangin ka sa Diyos? Ang laki ng kasalanan mo. And so, we tend to suspend confession until we make up for what we have done. That's the devil's deceit. Don't suspend. Huwag mong i-postpone until you're better. The beginning of dealing with sin is always seeking cleansing from God. And you know what? Confession is already part of mortification. Why? Because confession restrains rationalization. When you confess your sin, you own it as a sin. Maganda yung words ni Isaac Watts sa inawit natin kanina. So verse 3, my soul lies humbled in the dust and owns thy dreadful sentence just. Look down, O Lord, with pitying eye, and save the soul condemned to die. That's what we do when we confess. At ang gusto ng Diablo, mauwi ka sa rationalizing your sin. So maring sabihin mo, oh, nobody's perfect. O kaya, I was under pressure. Or there was a temptation. Or, gaya ni Adam, the woman you gave me. And we try to rationalize. This is as old as Eden. And confessing your sin neutralizes the power of rationalizing your sin. Never rationalize your sin, which means when you confess, you own it, you accept divine judgment on it, and then you look to Christ as the one who has taken that judgment on your behalf. This is the beginning of every project of mortification. Confession is based on Christ. So this is the first principle, and this is a principle that nothing will happen until you specify your sin. And the beginning, the starting step in dealing with sin is always confession. So this cannot be put more soberly than John Owen in his book, Mortification of Sin. Sinabi niya, always be killing sin or it will be killing you. Any question? So,
Pastor, meron po bang, is there an enslaving sin that cannot be mortified throughout the lifetime? Even like you said na yung daily confession and you don't stop until you get better. Pero what if merong possible na merong enslaving sin na hanggang mamatay na yung tao tayo cannot be mortified?
Not that it cannot be mortified, but it was unmortified. It's possible for a Christian to die with unmortified sin, and one of the things that will happen, di ba, sabi ng Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, that is not yet the last judgment. It is the judgment of the individual in the face of God, and there will be final correction of Christians in their unmortified sins. That does not reverse salvation, but it does have a bearing on the degrees of blessedness in our final state. Go ahead.
Hello po, Pastor. What's the difference between a life of sin and that kind of life where sin, even if it's merong mortification but not successful?
Well, yes. 1 John 3:9 tells us that the one who is not born of God does not stop sinning. So, yan ang life of sin, na unceasing sin. That is the reason why you confess. When you confess, you stop the sin at that level, but now you have a new process of mortification. When a person is not confessing his sin, no repentance from sin, that's the character of the unregenerate. Yung hindi tumitigil sa kasalanan, ang pangtigil ng kasalanan ay confession, repentance, and therefore, even if a Christian is sinning, there is a point when he stops sinning, when he repents and confesses, and probably falls again, but he again repents and confesses. So that's Proverbs 24:7. The righteous man falls 7 times but rises again. He does not, hindi siya nananatili sa pagkahulog sa kasalanan. Other thoughts, questions?
Related po dun sa last na sinabi niyo. What would you say po about using confession? When I read an article po kasi na when you confess your sins immediately after after you sin, there's a danger na if you use confession lightly, parang natitrain yung sin mo, because if I sin, I can always confess again and be acceptable again. So, parang ganun pa. Ano po yung masasabi niyo?
There is that real danger na you play at confession, and I think I have warned often against that. Na you just play at confession, you delight in sinning, and then you just assuage your conscience, parang pinagaang mo lang ang konsensya mo kasi nag-confess ka na, pero walang paglaban sa kasalanan. Kaya nga, we must always partner together yung confession due to repentance. Nagko-confess ka dahil nagre-repent ka sa iyong kasalanan, and we must always take the attitude of a real confession as we see it in Psalm 51. Then you have Psalm 130, verse 4, where the psalmist said, if you, Lord, should measure iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be feared. So yun dapat ang result ng confession. Meron kang reverence for God as well as renewed effort to deal with your sin. But playing at confession really is one way. Kung hindi ka mapigil ng kaaway ng diablo na mag-confess, gagawin niyang ang confession mo ay ritual. And that is not right. Other questions?
Pastor, yung isang in-mention ni Paul doon yung mga sins, diba? Yung dissent. Saan ba nag-refer yung dissent na yan? Dissent sa law of God or sa Diyos or like sa government or what?
Dissent.
dissent, yeah. So meaning like, for example, admittedly, marami akong dissension sa ating gobyerno. Okay? And I won't deny that. But of course, I remember one of your teaching is we should avoid militancy. Right? Now, and we are also reminded to pray for our rulers. But I won't deny the fact na ang hirap silang ipanalangin. But I, of course, I also don't do imprecatory prayer. So the thing is, and you also mentioned your mortification goes hand in hand with cultivation. So tama yun, no? So talagang pag binabasa ko yung ano, nanggagalait yung aking kalooban, pero hindi nakakatulong. So the action that I do is pinapalampas ko na lang and even refraining from liking yung mga comments na hindi, bagamat tama naman, pero when they use brush words, hindi ko susuportahan. So meaning, sa yung pagka inis ko ba doon sa mga nangyayaring, alam nating kasinungalingan, mga ano, eh kasalanan ba yon? Or, and praying for them really very difficultly is, parang ang hirap gawin eh, na ipanalangin sila.
You have many dissent from government, that makes two of us. But yung dissent dito is the oppositionist stance towards legitimate authority and more in the context ng church. But of course, that also includes legitimate authority ng household, legitimate authority sa government. So that means there must be deference. Even if you do not agree or perhaps you are opposed sa mga nangyayari, there must be deference. And the way to develop that, the opposite grace is to be prayerful for those in authority. So kung may extended application sa government, the more immediate context is about yung mga may oppositionist stance sa church na bawat may proposal na lang laban. There is a proper collective decision ng church. Hindi ibig sabihin na may dissent ka because you do not agree to a particular proposal. Pero yung palagi na lang, basta may galing sa pastor o galing sa mga officers, ang may mga kapatid, hindi naman dito sa church natin, pero may mga kapatid sa church, sa ibang church na alam mo na kung ano magiging posisyon niya. Whatever is opposite to the officer's proposition. May mga ganong klase and that is dissent. Jim.
When related to dun sa question ni Ike, just to share yung experience how pastor rebuked me in 1998, 99, I was doing my PhD and I don't want to go back, didn't want to go back to the Philippines kasi ang nanalo si Arab, no? So si pastor visited me and then he rebuked me, sinabi niya na you don't speak evil of the ruler of your nation. So yung speaking evil, I think that's what's sin. If you don't speak evil of the ruler, hindi yun kasalanan. Dissension is okay. Nga, as pastor said, you may have a different position than the president, for instance. But when you speak evil of the ruler, and I did last time, kaya na-rebuke ako nun ni pastor. So I prayed. So, na-impeach. Ay, sir.
So, naanin sa panalangin. And God has His way of dealing with rulers. Pero yun, ang tamang point na as long as He is the ruler, legitimate ruler, you do not speak evil of those who are in authority. Our thoughts.
Sir, yung hindi pagtatrabaho or katamaran sa pagtatrabaho ay kasalanan. Pero patungkol naman sa panalangin, Pastor, yung hindi pananalangin or katamaran na siguro sa pananalangin ay kasalanan din. Tama po, Pastor?
Yes.
Ano po yung grace that we need to cultivate para, kasi binanggit ko na rin, dapat prayerful tayo.
No, the grace is discipline. Ibig sabihin, you pray not when you feel like doing it or you feel prompted. That is always the error of the immature. Yung immature, palagay niya hindi tatanggapin ang panalangin niya kung hindi siya masigla, hindi siya feeling close with God, so he suspends praying. Discipline means whether you feel like doing it or not, you still pray. And remember what I shared it before, yung sinabi ni C.S. Lewis dun sa kanyang Screwtape Letters, yung advice ng senior demon to the junior demon, how to tempt Christians. Ang sinabi roon ng senior demon, of course, C.S. Lewis thoughts themselves, ay prayers offered to God in dryness are what please God most. And that surprised me kasi you want to pray with full emotion. And yet, this senior demon was saying na it's when prayers are offered to God, when you are feeling dry, and yet that pleases God most because God knows that is offered in discipline as commitment to duty, even though the emotion is not there. So, yung opposite grace para malabanan, and sloth is sin in whatever form that may be. And sloth in prayer is compounded sin. So, the opposite grace is discipline in prayer. And by the way, I'm still thinking of what specific sins to consider in my lessons. And if you have some specific sins you want us to discuss, suggest to me for future lessons. Other thoughts? So, sana we all welcome the adventure of mortification. Imagine killing. Killing in any other area is horrific to think. But killing sin is a spiritual activity every Christian should be doing. And again, kill sin or it is already killing you. And that is the project of mortification. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa aming mahabaging Ama, nagpapasalamat kami na matutunan namin mula sa iyong salita ang isang bahagi ng proseso ng pagpapakabanal, ang pagpatay ng aming mga kasalanan. At sana nga Panginoon ay lagi naming isipin ang mga particular na kasalanan na aming sinisikap na patayin sa aming buhay. So give us grace that we may truly engage in consistent mortification of our sins. And for us to do this, we need to specify our sins. And when we specify our sins, the starting step always is repentant and contrite confession of our sins. May we never stop and may we never yield to the temptation and deception of the devil to suspend confessing sin until we feel better, but instead always begin our battle with sin with our regular repentance and confession of our sins. So guide us with wisdom and give us enabling grace so that we may have a concrete project of mortifying our sins in our day-to-day life. And we know that we cannot do it by ourselves. It takes your grace. And we always look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our victory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.